All right, in our Bibles this morning, let's turn to our text, which is found in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared unto heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems or crowns on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour the child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God in his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, and they should feed her there at least, or to the extent of 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his archangels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and a half a time. That all makes sense, by the way, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth, not the dragon, but the serpent, spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out in his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is how Revelation 12 starts, about this woman who's clothed with the sun. The woman here, of course, represents the people of Israel, and that is identified by the fact of her headdress. She had 12 stars. Okay, those represent the 12 sons of Jacob, or the 12 tribes of Israel. And the moon is in the vision, and of course, she's wearing a garment of 100% sun. No polyester. 100% something. She had been with child since the day she was chosen by Yahweh in Genesis chapter 12. Her pain to be delivered, now reaching a critical point, yet in the fullness of time. You imagine being pregnant for hundreds and hundreds of years. Yeah, 9 months is plenty. Okay, here's the idea. This is you can call it symbolism, you can call it anything you want, but this is how God is painting a picture for you to see. This isn't my picture, this is Almighty God's picture. Now, let's look at verse 2 and 3. Another sign appeared to heaven. We got the woman with child, and another sign appeared, and it was a fiery red dragon. He's also been waiting for this birth to happen all these years. The woman representing the nation Israel has been waiting, but the red dragon's been waiting too. And we know why. He figures this. If Satan can destroy this child at birth, the realization of his kingdom over and above the kingdom of God will soon become a reality. So he thinks. The male child in our story is who? Who's the male child? Jesus is the male child. He is a direct threat to Satan. Satan had five I wills recorded in Isaiah chapter 14. So this is what the dragon is all about. This is what he said. I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, referring to Israel. I will descend above the heights of the cloud. I, Satan, will be like the Most High. Somebody's out there trying to usurp God. And that's Satan's plan. It's been his plan since day one. Look at verse 4. He drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth, and the dragon stood before the woman that's ready to give birth, and he's ready to devour this woman the moment that she gives birth. Herod, their king, will kill all her sons, 2 years and younger, by the sword. That happened. The child Jesus and his parents, during this slaughter, fled to Egypt. Unharmed. Now, if you look at verse 5, she bore the male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Now, that verse is important. You have to stop there for a minute. The child was born, and right in the end of the sentence, he goes to heaven. Something's missing in there, isn't it? Of course. 33 years of his life is missing there. But remember, we're looking at the big picture, so nobody made a mistake here. It's not like John just flubbed up or lost his notes. Okay, we know what's going on because the Bible tells us what's going on from Monday to Tuesday all the way to Sunday. We know what's going on. During that time, in verse 5 at the end, this is what happened. The child grows and he becomes a faithful servant of his heavenly Father. He speaks and the raging storm is silenced. The sick are healed. The gospel is preached. The dead are brought back to life. Yet the dragon's influence on the sinful remains of this woman's nation that she represents, that sinful influence is there. And what do? 33 years after the child is born, they cry out for his death. Crucify him! Crucify him! The dragon, my friends, failed 33 years earlier to kill the baby. Satan's going to get another chance. He's planning on it. He's got the army ready, ready to go here. Here's the thing. Satan in this thing is most encouraged at the crucifixion. Why? Because Jesus is facing the crucifixion without a fight. He's not resisting it. All his disciples are not saying, "Oh no, 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 you're not gonna crucify our Lord and Savior." Jesus was willing to go to the cross. Satan's thinking, "Boy, it can't get any better than this." Here's what happened. Jesus was beaten. He was nailed on the cross, where he bled and died, which we know. What happened 3 days later? The one Israel has waited so long for has been crucified, but he now walks out of the grave. Verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness. She had a place prepared by God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. All right, that was the time that she would spend in the wilderness. This is now, we're talking about the second part of the tribulation. Guess what? The dragon is more furious than ever. He now must be more brutal if he's going to reign over Yahweh in his heaven. His attitude is, if I can't destroy the one person, the child, then I will destroy them all. And that's what he's been doing for 2,000 years. All the people in the Middle East, what has been their number one thing, Marcus?
Destroy Israel.
Wipe them off the face of the map. How many times do you hear in the news that this group and that group wants to eradicate and erase Israel off the map? That's their fiery red dragon working, folks. You know, that's what's going on. It's right here in your Bible. Okay, are all the Jews disappeared by now? After 2,000 years, are there any Jews left in the world?
They were last week. Well,
hey, folks, you got an eyewitness. Last week. Not only that, in 1948, Israel became a nation. Satan's not doing too good. He ain't going to do too good, pardon my English. And what I want you to do is never give him any slack. Don't give him any latitude, because he'll take it from you if you don't give it. So don't give it to him, and don't allow him to take it from you. So now he's going after the whole entire nation of Israel. The foundation of this study came from our scripture reading last Sunday in John chapter 16, 12, and 13, which is, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. One of the things we want to think about when we look at the book of Revelation, everybody says, oh yeah, there's a lot of symbolism and a lot of stuff that we read that isn't really going to happen that way, and people get kindly discouraged. But the Holy Spirit says in our scripture that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that if you're a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. It does mean that is true. You may be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you read Revelation chapter 12, and you think to yourself, it talks about a woman who represents Israel being taken out of Israel and taken into a place that God has prepared for her, to protect her. We covered that. So it says that they went with two eagle's wings. That's what it says. Look in your Bible, Revelation chapter 12. And it says there, Verse 14, but the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place. Now, because the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, we could say, well, probably it's actually not going to be an eagle at all. It's going to be a big airlift, C5As, okay? They're going to take all the people from Israel. This is during the middle of tribulation now. We covered that. And put them in this place. Because I'm filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit guides me to all truth. Then that must be how it happens. Wrong. What this verse means, before we go to the rest of the message, is that when John chapter 16 says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, it is guiding us into all truth in this book. So if you think, meditate, contemplate, and conjure things about how it's really going to happen in the book of Revelation with the dragon and all that, and you've got some ideas about tanks and weapons and nuclear warheads and stuff like that, the Holy Spirit is not leading you to all truth. Don't blame the Holy Spirit for your imagination. What do we know from this book? It says two wings of a great eagle. We are going with that. That's the truth as John saw it in heaven. He was in heaven in the Spirit. Okay? Anything else is conjecture how he's actually going to do that. So I wanted to lay that foundation. Now I want to get back on the time we have left. If you look at chapter 12, I want to read verses 7 through 9. It says, and a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out in them. Some people think, oh yeah, that happened before God created, you know, in Genesis chapter 1, because that's how the serpent got to the earth, because of this war. That's not true. If that's what you're thinking, that's a separate case, okay? That is not what, this is yet future, all right? Satan being cast out of heaven. Okay, when we think of a war breaking out in heaven, this lone statement indicates there must be some ongoing problems or problem people in heaven for a war to break out, right? Why is there a war in heaven? That's a beautiful place. God lives there. Well, let's see who's up there. There's God the Father. He's in heaven. God the Son. And a very large host of angels. And who else is in heaven? There is a large contingent of earthly souls bought by the blood of the Lamb, residing in a region called paradise. Look at verse 7 again. There's the dragon and his angels are up there. Within the space of heaven is Satan, called the dragon, that serpent of old. Do you think Satan and his angels, just picture them up there, do you think Michael and the archangel of God's angel, do you think they're being bullied? Do you think that's what's going on, you know, two rival gangs? Nah. Sounds good, but that wouldn't be the truth, and the Holy Spirit would never lead you there. Okay, so you can forget that one. This is why there's a war in heaven. This is what's going on. Think of the person of Satan. Let me repeat Satan's five I wills recorded in Isaiah chapter 14. Satan says, I will ascend into heaven, number one. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will sit on the mount of the congregation. Number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And number five, I will be like the Most High. That's the problem. Satan is up in heaven. He has to answer to God. But his plan is, I'm going to overtake him. I'm going to overtake him. Listen to me. Satan said he's going to ascend. Let me give you a fact. Satan cannot ascend higher than he can jump. Ascend in the way that Satan means it is to succeed. And that would require power that Satan doesn't have. Satan has no power unless God gives him power. Satan can't do anything. Satan does not ascend into heaven. Satan is in heaven by God's decree. Satan cannot, you know what else Satan can't do? He can't exalt himself above God because there is absolutely nothing that exists above God. You know what there is above God? Nothing. He can't go there because there's nothing there. He can't make it above God. The only thing Satan can do, which he plans to do, is to dethrone God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God and all of that stuff. Listen, the only possible thing that Satan can do is dethrone God, and that's impossible. The only possible thing he can do, and it's impossible that he would do it. Why is Satan going through all this? For one reason, that he's going to win. He knows he's not going to win. But the reason that Satan goes through all of this is because Satan hates God, number one. And number two, Satan hates you and me. That is why he does it. So my word to you is, welcome to the world of evil. Don't enter into the world of evil. Don't go even near it. Stay away from it. Welcome to the world of evil. Satan is on a losing streak. He's headed for the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And by the way, Satan will not be the king of hell. He's going to be tormented down there with others like him. All right, now I want you to turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. We're going to spend just a minute here because I want you to know what Satan's doing in heaven and why it's so important that he be kicked out. All right, Satan's in heaven by God's decree, as I said. And if you look at Job chapter 1, we realize that Satan has a job to do. Notice what that is. Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come from? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Stop there for a minute. Job is the oldest book written in the Bible, most scholars believe. So Satan's had access to heaven since the foundation of the earth. What's he doing up there? Look what he's doing up there. Then verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and you've given him everything, his possessions, and all the land that he owns. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Job was about as perfect as a man could get. But yet, what does Satan do? He said, he's not so great. He's horrible. You take away all his wealth and he'll curse you to your face. So the accuser of the brethren, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren, who was accused before them or before our God day and night, has been cast down. So there will come that day when Satan, there's going to be that war. I told you last week, we're all going to be sitting there. We're going to be watching this war take place between the angels. All right? And when he is defeated, when Satan is defeated and cast out and all those angels, it'll be the first time heaven has not heard the words of Satan. Can you imagine the rejoicing that's going to go on in heaven when Satan is cast into the earth? There's going to be refreshments there, I'm sure. That's going to be a... See, you and I, we read it and we'll say, oh yeah, that's good, yeah, you're rejoicing. Can you imagine the impact of all of that in heaven? I want us to look at verse 15 through 17, and then we'll close. This is the other part I wanted to tell you about in our chapter, just to work on it a little bit. In verse 15, it says, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Now, this is another thing that we think about. Okay, the Holy Spirit's going to guide me to all truth. You know what the speculation is? Do you realize how big a serpent dragon's got to be to have enough water in him to spit it all out and flood, of all places, a desert? That's what the Bible, that's what John saw. A whole desert, he's just going to spit out enough water, flood it. That's what the Bible says. Now, of course, the scholars say, well, that's not going to happen. God doesn't make, serpents and dragons that big. What's going to happen is the flood's going to be a big army. All the armies of the Middle East are going to come and pursue the woman. Of course, you're not going to find her because God prepared a place for her. Again, don't be led into thinking that because you thought it and you have the Holy Spirit in you, that is truth. Could happen that way. You don't know how it's going to happen. You know what I would recommend you do? I recommend you say, it says a serpent spewed out water out of his mouth like a flood. That leaves a little bit of wiggle room, doesn't it? Like a flood. It may not be a real flood, but we're not going to speculate on that. Because you know what happens every time people think about Revelation and end times and they begin to speculate and conjure up things, you know what happens? A new religion is born. A new cult is formed. Let us understand what the truth is. It's in here, and what the truth is not, because it's not in there. And we don't want to pretend that it's in there. Verse 17. So what, verse 16, but the earth helped the woman. I just want to put that in there, that the earth opened up and swallowed all the water, it says, from the dragon. God's done that before. God flooded the earth in Genesis. Flooded the earth. Then within 1 year, Genesis chapter 8 tells us that everything was back to normal. Where'd all that water go? The earth swallowed it up, except what's in the clouds. Earth, God swallows up things. Remember the sons of Korah? Rebellious people in the Old Testament? They kept rebelling against Moses and Aaron. God said, I've had enough. There was no flood that day, except God opened up the earth. And he swallowed the sons of Korah and three other families, their tents and everything they had, swallowed them up. The earth didn't. The earth closed up after them. You know what God's capable of. We don't need to add our little imagination and our conjuring to God. Take it as it is written. Take it as it, there is more in there than you can possibly absorb. So don't be making up any more stuff. No more. No, we don't need any more cults. All we need is the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, help us this week. As we hear all about the world, the truth that the world has. The world has decided that all truth is relative. There is no absolute truth. And I don't blame them for saying that after all the stuff they come out with. I wouldn't believe any of it. But there is truth right in the between the covers of this book called your word, the sword of the Lord. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.